Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's December 11th, 2013, and this is a first ever, and this is indicative of maybe where this program will go today. Pastor Jason Schiffo, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, is actually seated. It's the first time in over 2 years that he's come into the studio, and I think we're both a little under the weather. I'm just starting to recover. In fact, Monday and Tuesday's program, I had it a little easier because I had special Christmas program. One by Elizabeth George, and then yesterday Max Lucado, so I only had to do like some opens and closes, but my voice is just starting to come around, and I see that you're coming down with something, or it's a continuation of something you and your family have been passing back and forth.
Yeah, I think we have. I think my wife has been sick for a week or so, and I was gloating that I was not sick, so I pay the price for that.
Yes. well, we'll get through the program, because we're in a season that is very special and dear to us all. It's the Advent season, and when you asked, as is the practice, we always pray before the program, generally Jason on Wednesday and me on Friday, because the joke over the air had been when he prays on Friday before we do our Acts study, oftentimes something that he prays will trigger a thought in my mind, and I'll say, hey, why did you pray that way, or expand a little more, or divide that. So this morning he said, now who's going to pray? I said, you do, because I might get some material out of your prayer, and I did, and we'll get to that in a minute, and I want to alert our listeners that at the end of today's program, we're going to give away a couple tickets to Kenny Roger. He's coming to the State Farm Center Sunday night, December 22nd. It's a 7:30 performance. It'll include Linda Davis, and many of you know Kenny Rogers. He's been singing, I don't know, 40, 50 years, many, many years, and he's going to have a special Christmas concert, which will include some of his favorites. And so we'll give away a pair of tickets at the end of the program, so stay with us. So excited about that. Excited about this Saturday, the Singing Men of GNN. This will be our 15th year, Jason. We started in 1999. That's when we formed the Singing Men of GNN in the summer. And that winter, so that December, around the 15th, Barrington Coleman, who was our director at the time, said, hey, why don't we do an event maybe out for the general public? And somehow we worked it out. Let's try the food court at Marketplace Mall. And so they said, sure, and we put on a free concert at noon. And so this Saturday at noon, this will be the 15th year we've done it in a row, ever since 1999. So thank you, God, for those at Marketplace Mall that have allowed us the privilege to proclaim the good news message of Jesus clearly in the food court with our Christmas selections. And so the men will be dressed in their tuxedos. Come early, because there's usually 5, 7, 1,000 people in that food court. And they set up the staging for us and special arrangements and special seating for everyone. They'll turn off the carousel, and so there'll be a lot of room, but there'll be a lot of Christmas shoppers during that time. So get there early. Get there at about 11:30, 11:45. Get parked. Walk into the food court. Maybe have a bite to eat. I love that teriyaki chicken. And then be seated by noon, because we'll start right at noon. It'll be about an hour, hour and a half concert. So this would be a great one to invite your friends, neighbors, colleagues, anyone you know, because the Christmas message will be sung and shared and talked about. And I think it'll be a real blessing. And we've seen many people join in on some of the carols that we'll sing along with, and others that just stop and are like, ah. And then seeing the singing men in their tuxedos, that's always kind of a neat sight. So that's this Saturday at noon at the food court at Marketplace Mall on North Neal Street in Champaign. So alert your friends and family members and come on out. It's totally free. There's no offering. No buckets are passed through the audience. And we'll have our singing men CDs. Now, I think I'll have them 1 for $15. 2 for $20. So great last-minute Christmas gift if you need them. We'll have a little radio display set up, and you can come out and enjoy afternoon with the Singing Men of GNN this Saturday at noon. Let's see. So I think we highlighted Monday and Tuesday. We had special guests on Mark and Friends. Today we'll give some tickets away at the end of the program to Kenny Rogers. And, your prayers. You know, as you were praying about our dependence on the Lord and sometimes needing to have the awareness that God humbled himself He humbled himself as a child. The very God-man came and was dependent on people and yet sovereign at the same time. I mean, it's kind of that mystery, but he humbled himself. Here's sovereign God entrusting himself to the care of human beings, to men and women, being born, being nurtured, you know, all that, and yet still fully being in control and God. I mean, it's kind of that mystery, but how we sometimes act like a baby when we shouldn't, and yet other times we need to be dependent like a child on God. And I just thought, as you were praying for our listeners, you were praying for you and I to be dependent on God and not to be a baby in the sense that we're whiny, and yet being totally dependent, surrendered, and entrusting our lives to Him is such an important part of this whole season.
Yeah, I think that when we look at babies, and you know, I'm in a season where we've got a new baby, Samuel, so we there's a lot of baby illustrations that I use for a lot of things, because I'm again seeing that with fresh and new eyes. You know, I think we tend to forget things, and God reminds us of them. But, you know, just the fact that a baby is wholly dependent upon its parents, its father. A baby is wholly dependent on looking up and seeing the father. I know when I walk in the room, you know, Samuel's just starting to be able to see us and recognize us. And he sees me and he gets a big smile on his face. And you know that's the same smile we should have when God the Father shows up, when he makes himself manifest to us and we get to see him. And But I think what happens is we don't look for him, and therefore I think we get a little haughty instead of humble. You know, we don't look for him, and so what we do is we look inside at ourselves. And you know, the story of the Bible continuously is about identity. Who's the identity of the people in the Bible? Who's the identity of God in the Bible? I mean, when God comes as a man, you know, it says in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself of what it meant to be God. He humbled himself and came as a man in the likeness of a man. That is that identity-wise, that's not any different than what God has asked Abraham to do when he asked Abraham to leave his father and his kinmen and his country, when he asked him to leave everything that he would have drawn identity from. You know, it's the same degree of humility. Leave everything that you have and come to a place that I'm going to show you. I mean, it's amazing. Some people would read that. I think there's a literal piece in that with Abraham where it says a place I'm going to show you. So it's a geographic, it's a literal place. But I also think that there was a place inside of Abraham that God was going to show him, that God was going to reveal to him. Because if we walk through Abraham's journeys and his trials and his testings and as he's following God, I mean, we see sacrifice. We see Abraham learning what worship means. We see Abraham learning what righteousness means. We see him learning what it means to love in Genesis chapter 22. So Abraham is being shown something that I don't think he expected. I don't think that he even God is going to show up in the places that you don't expect. I mean, Herod, I was just thinking about it this morning. Herod expected a king like David to ride in. That's what he expected. When he saw the wise men and he said, look, I hear there's a prophecy, and this prophecy is about a king who's going to come. I mean, he was looking for a man. He was looking for somebody who, like a David, or somebody who, you know, who we would think, you know, with the ripped muscles and all that, somebody who was going to come in and conquer.
Yeah, take charge.
Yeah. But it was a baby. It was the most unlikely things. Abraham was the most unlikely man. Go to the Bible. People are the most you and I, we're the most unlikely people that God could possibly have chosen. I think I talked a couple weeks ago at our church about faith. And I was talking about how God selects people, really talking about the story about Abraham in Genesis 12, where Abraham, in three small words, the entire trajectory of history has changed, and Abram went. You know, because we use those words in such small, insignificant terms. I went to the store. I went to go get something to eat. I went to the bathroom, if you know, per se. You know, I went somewhere. But here, God shatters history by saying Abram went because he's going to be a father of a great nation. He's going to begin to bless through Abram.
And because he went, it was credited to him as righteousness.
Credited
because he went
as
in
righteous.
Faith, right?
Oh, sure. Well, it was faith in response to God's grace. God poured out his grace. What's fascinating is before Abram there's 10 generations of people who don't do anything. I mean, essentially, you read that genealogy prior to Genesis 12 and Genesis 11, and it's like they lived, they had some kids, and they died. They didn't do anything of any worth. Now, we know later on, if we read the Bible, it says that God is consistently pouring out his grace. So there was not a lack of grace being poured out. There was a lack of people who were listening, who were worshiping, who were seeking after God. Abraham just happens to be this different man. But what's fascinating is he's unlikely because he wasn't, there was nothing that had prepared him for this moment. There was no theology. See, we mess up. We read the story in Genesis 12. And we read it. We've got a Bible that tells us from one end to the other the story. Some of us have got a knowledge of theology. We've got a knowledge of doxology, worship of God. We've got a knowledge of all these things, biblical knowledge, a biblical foundation. Abraham had none of that. He had none of it. You know what he had? He had a voice that spoke to him, and he had faith that was the response to God's grace.
Yeah, it wasn't like he had a grandfather and father that were pastors that loved God and followed him and then poured it into him. His father's and his probably generational line were pagan, following after many gods.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we'll see later on, really not even later on, midway through chapter 12, Abraham steps out and he begins to go, and it says, and God took him here, you know, and God took him there. Let's see what it says here in the text. You know, the people they acquired in Haran, and then they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Cabram, Abram passed through the land to the land of Sychem and the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. I mean, Abraham keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. The call of a disciple, one who follows God, is always to go deeper, to go to new places, to go to uncharted places, places that they have not been before. Abram kept going. He kept being taken to these new places, and he kept doing it by God's grace. God kept pouring out his grace, but he was doing that in response to a voice. He wasn't doing that in response to some plan he understood. The best information Abram got was, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I'm going to bring you to a place that I'm going to show you later. He didn't give him a brochure. He didn't say like, hey, you know, there's a condo there and there's a pool and it's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. They have, you know, they play Farkle on Wednesdays. Yeah. I mean, there's none of that. Abram doesn't know anything. He simply trusts. His response is faith. Like you said, it's credited to his righteousness. That's what he had to go on. And for those of us today, we have so much more. We have a biblical knowledge of who God is. We have a biblical knowledge of what God came to do and what he's accomplished through Christ. We have a biblical knowledge of the end of the story. I mean, I shudder at how many people I run into who are like, oh, the devil's winning. I don't understand. I'm like, did you read the end? I mean, he doesn't win. Paul talks about this in light of our momentary troubles, our momentary struggles. Now, I don't want to ever deny or lessen the struggles and the suffering that you're going through, because it's very real and it's very hard. Jesus never sold us a bad bill of goods. Jesus said it will be hard. He, you know, in fact, when he's teaching this, 3,000 people leave. I mean, he kind of just like slices his ministry in half. How many pastors that are listening right now would be bold enough to do that, would be bold enough to proclaim, would be bold enough to be God's messenger and not God's editor at the fact that you may half your congregation when you say this? I mean, let's be honest. When you're following Jesus, it isn't easy, but we know how the story ends. We have such a breadth of knowledge. We live so far below our inheritance, and yet we want to compare ourselves with Abram. I mean, I can't even begin to compare myself with Abram. I can compare myself to Abram's fallenness. Like, you know, I mean, I definitely have learned some great lessons, like my wife is never my sister, those kinds of things. But, I can't even begin to understand. In fact, my wife and I, we were sitting last night, and I was reading my Bible, and I just looked at her, and I said, if God spoke to you, I mean, if God spoke to you, like in the core of your heart, God spoke to you and said, take your son whom you love and go sacrifice him at the place that I'm going to show you, would you do it? And she goes, no, I wouldn't do it. I don't know how I could do it. And it's that moment where the reality is, I don't know how I would do that. The fascinating thing is that in Genesis 22, what does it say? That Abram got up the next morning and he went. He got a couple of his dudes, he got some wood, he got his son, and they went, they headed out. There's no conversation in there. He's obedient. And this is the thing that everything hedges on. This is what he's been waiting for. He's been waiting to have this son who's going to carry, who's going to be this, you know, linchpin in this great nation that people are going to be blessed through. And I think sometimes we live so far below it. And Christmas time for us can be a great reminder that we have an inheritance through Christ. Now, that inheritance doesn't mean that we become haughty, we lift up our hands and our voices and we scream out loud and we do all these things. The call from the manger, I think, is humility. What a humble moment. I mean, of all the ways, I mean, think about the Old Testament. When God manifested himself, what did it look like? It was thunder and it was lightning. It was trumpets. It was, and God said, I mean, you can't even encapsulate probably what the power and depth in that moment. I mean, as God is speaking, I mean, I just think about the greatest CGI you could, you know, special effects in a movie with the ground shaking as God speaks. And
yeah, volcanic activity and
smoke and the clouds. James Earl Jones. It would be James Earl Jones. And God said. You know, and it were, you know, Charles Heston's dead. But, you know, it would be like that. And then you have this moment where it's like, I mean, listen, I'm a dad. I'm a new dad. I got a new baby. He's only at least like a little bit over a month old. I know in the subtle quietness of the middle of the night what the gurgling and crying of a baby sounds like. And it is so not powerful. It's not like that would shatter history. It's not like that. It's just this little kind of whimpering cry. And that's how God came in. God came into the world like that. You know why? Because he wasn't going to bowl us over. He wasn't going to have us remain at a distance. He was going to come in a way where we would desire nothing more than to reach out and touch him. Anybody, any of you out there listening, when you see somebody with a baby, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to touch that soft skin. You want to touch those little feet that have never touched the ground before. You want to grab those little fingers. You want to reach out and touch that baby. I got to think that when Mary came out and she went back to town with Jesus, people were wanting to touch that baby. They were wanting to touch the very person of God. They might not, they wouldn't have known it. But I think there's something deep inside of us. Ephesians says, you know, the God who separated the light and the darkness made that light rest in our hearts so that we would have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I mean, I think that we see Christ and we don't even know it, but there's something deep inside of us that wells up and says, oh my gosh, this moment, there's something here. And so I don't remember what your original question was.
Well, just our dependence, how sometimes we can be like babies, whining about everything.
Oh,
yet
yeah.
Other times find ourselves in a healthy state saying, Lord, I'm so utterly dependent on you and need to relinquish control. And how he came as a child, which is just incredible that he humbled himself, Almighty Sovereign God. Yet he did it so that Jesus could identify with every single struggle that we go through, so he could be our high priest and understand every facet of humanity, because he became human, if you will, human and divine at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, let's understand this, that when we read that Genesis 12 account, and that's where we're preaching out of right now in our church, so we're on Love this next weekend if you want to come and hear a great sermon. a pretty good one, I guess, maybe. We'll see. But when we look at Genesis 12, I see a lot of what's happening today in the world. I mean, there's 10 generations that come before Abram who offer nothing. They offer absolutely nothing. They offer temporary value. They offer temporary security. They offer temporary things. And it's at that moment when God speaks and God goes, wait a second, Abram, you're going to offer a legacy. You're going to offer something that is going to last. There are going to be nations that are going to be blessed through you, and I'm going to bless them. And you're going to offer something that is going to be amazing. You're going to have a child that you're going to pour into who I am. I think, I really believe, Mark, that there is a lot of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and 80-year-old babies walking around. They're still in Pampers, crying. They're still doing that, and they're not manned up and started to follow God. They're not manned up and started to follow Jesus. You know, there's that passage in the Bible that talks about that we will look foolish to those who are perishing. It's in Romans. It'll be foolishness to those who are perishing. You know what? I believe with all my heart that we're the fools when we don't share Jesus with our kids, when we don't share Jesus in our houses. Because you know what? Our kids are dying. They're perishing. They're falling away. They're falling out. You know, I mean, you run into people and they say, oh, my kid left the faith. I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, what did you do? What the heck did you do? You know, and they say, well, you know, I mean, I'm kind of old. Abram was 75. He wasn't too old. The obstacle to Abram's, the obstacle to your faith when it's your age is you. It's not your age. The Bible says that though we're wasting away inward, we're being renewed day by day. And then some people go, well, you know, when I get cleaned up, you know, then I'm going to come to Jesus and are teaching my kids about Jesus. Well, you're never going to get cleaned up. Again, you're an obstacle to your faith, but listen to me. You're not an obstacle just to your faith. You're an obstacle to the faith of your children. Give your children something that lasts, something where moth and rust will not creep in and decay. Give something to your kids that will be a legacy and a lineage that they can pass down to their kids, and that is who the name of Jesus is. If you don't take your kids to the manger this holiday, but you take them to the mall, and you take them to Santa, and you take them to the carousel, and you take them to all these other places, you've taken them to the wrong place. You're a 60, 50, 40, 30-year-old baby with diapers on trying to raise another kid, and you need to stop. You need to stop. We have to stop. God says to Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. And the fallacy and the myth I think that we have is a great nation is made by a great nation. A great nation becomes great through its nation. No, a great nation becomes great through homes. homes, this home and that home connected, and all these homes together, and these homes making a community, and that community making a town, and that town making a state, and that state being a part of something called a nation. You want to be a great nation. As for you and your household, you begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to take your kids to the manger. And I'll tell you what, look on, if you're on Facebook, go to Facebook, become my Facebook friend. I post every day a very simple Advent reading plan. Just sit down with your kids. Now, there's some of you who are going like, shoot, man, thank goodness I'm out of this one. My kids are 30 years old. There's this great new invention called the phone. You can call them up and read it with them, because you know what? They still need to hear about it. Abram was 75 years old when he heard the first time about God, when he heard the first time from God. Your kids are never too old. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't know if you can be heartbroken in heaven, but I'll be heartbroken if I don't see my kids there. I will be so heartbroken. And so, yeah, give your kids something that lasts this year. Give them something that matters this year. It may not fit underneath the tree, because I don't know how eternity fits underneath the tree. And it won't fit in a stocking, and you'll be able to sing about it, but you won't be able to put ribbon around it, but it will last. Do something that matters. And maybe you're the person right now and you're saying to me, but you know what, Jason, my dad never gave me anything that matters. I mean, I'm the first person. Yay, God. Somebody has to be the first. Abram was the first. You have to be the first. Somebody has to. In boldness and in faith, go. Three simple words. I don't know what your name is. Maybe it's Susie and Susie went. Maybe it's John and John went. Maybe it's Tom and Tom went. I don't know what your name is. I don't know what your place is. But you know what? The opportunity through the grace of God and your response to that by faith is that you can go. And you can begin to follow this Jesus who will take you to a manger where in humility and faith you will grow and you'll pass something on that matters.
I think we almost have to continue this conversation on Friday. I wrote a couple of little notes about the Holy Spirit, because Abraham didn't have the Holy Spirit, and that's another thing that we have accessible to us as we ask Jesus into our heart. And then the fact that when you see Samuel, how that brings a smile to you, and you see him smiling, and yet if we could wrap our arms around the concept that God smiles when he sees us, that he loves us, it's just an unbelievable, unbelievable concept. And if you're unfamiliar with the love of God, there are trained counselors that would love to talk with you right now. No cost, no obligation. You can call them up. They're caring people, and they'll help you understand how to have a relationship with Almighty God. Call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Allow this to be your most special Christmas ever. Well, as promised, right now we'll go quickly. The fifth caller, 217-367-7777, for a pair of tickets to Kenny Rogers coming to the State Farm Center Sunday night, December 22nd. 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.